Welcome to the Viking Podcast with head coach Chase Coburn. I am Mike Lund, and we're back to talk about a Viking men's basketball again. The Vikings get an early start to the Big Sky Conference season this week as we record. It is Monday, November 29th, and we're going to take a look at what lies ahead for the Vikings as well as talk about the team's play so far this season and also look at the remaining non-conference games coming up ahead. We remind you the Viking Podcast is presented by On Point Community Credit Union, and we thank them for their support. So let's bring in the head coach, Chase Coburn. Coach, welcome back. You made a quick trip to Iowa. Didn't quite go the way you wanted it to go, but it was kind of a cross-country deal. How do you like those one-gamers, especially when it's a long one?
Yeah, it took us a little while to get out there and then get home, but it was well worth it. I think, you know, it was a really good experience for our team to get on the road. We haven't really had a true road game. You know, we went down to Oregon State, but, you know, it was just a day trip down there. So it was good for us as a team to get on the road and experience that. And yeah, so it was a great experience for our team.
And I haven't had a chance to talk to you about this, but you left on Wednesday, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so you had Thanksgiving back in Iowa, is that right? Did you have something set up special for the team?
Yeah, we sure did. We had a great Thanksgiving Thursday night after practice, and the hotel did a really good job. You know, I think sometimes when you go to those hotels, you never know what you're going to get on Thanksgiving, but it was great. You know, gave us a chance to all hang out. And yeah, there's not a group of guys I wouldn't have rather shared that Thanksgiving day with.
So that's part of being a basketball coach. Obviously, you are in season around the holidays, Thanksgiving, all the other holidays in December, such as Christmas. The team will actually get a little bit of time off at Christmas. Probably most of those guys will get a chance to go home, see family. They didn't this time. But that's kind of important. You find that you get to play the role of maybe parent a little bit, or perhaps sibling, or whatever it is, to try to keep them in good spirits when they have to be away from family at the holidays.
I was gonna say, can we go big brother, or uncle, or something?
I'm old enough. I would be parent. You would be older brother.
No. Okay. My kid is 9 months old, so I, you know, parent in that way. But no, these guys, yeah, it was awesome to be around them. You know. And it's our family away from our family. And so, yeah, it was really good to be around those guys. And like I said, especially on our first road trip and, you know, have it be Thanksgiving. And, yeah, we all got to enjoy each other's company. So it was a great time.
Good. Okay. Well, let's talk some basketball. Last week, the Vikings playing Portland and Iowa. A couple of losses, Coach. I know probably your team didn't play as well as you might have hoped, and we're going to talk specifically about offense. A couple of poor shooting games. The one thing I would note, defensively, your team was there in both games, and in fact, playing Iowa, Iowa was the leading scoring team in the nation, averaging 99 points. They did score 85, which is still a lot, but that was also the fewest points they'd scored this season. So you did a job there. So we'll talk a little bit about defense and rebounding in a minute, because you guys have done really well along those lines. But I do have to ask the question, some rough shooting nights. How do you address that with your team? You know your team can shoot the ball better. But really, it might not have mattered at Iowa considering the final score, but it probably definitely mattered against the University of Portland. So how do you address something as basic as shooting and get your team some confidence?
Well, the first thing is I completely believe in those guys. Every time they shoot the ball, I think it's going in. So, you know, we've been shooting it really good in practice. We shot it well all summer. We shoot it really well in practice when we go live. And, you know, it's just been a couple games where we haven't shot the ball. Those shots are going to fall. My confidence in the team when it comes to shooting has not changed. I feel every time that they let the ball go, that it's going to go in. So, you know, we're going to come back and do a bunch of shooting and get the ball to go in the basket a little bit more in practice and things like that. But I think when it comes to a confident level, you know, I'm completely confident in those guys shooting the ball.
All right. And as we look at, let's look at the other side of it. You've held opponents this season to 38% from the field. that is tainted a little bit. You did play a couple lower division opponents, certainly, but again, you also played Oregon State, Iowa, and University of Portland, three quality programs, no question about it. How do you feel about your team as far as the defensive side? I heard you say something to a reporter last week. You are a defensive-oriented team this season, as you view it. I believe that's what you said. How do you feel about that side of the ball so far and the fact that you're also rebounding the ball really, really well?
Yeah, I mean, we take pride in our defense. You know, we held Iowa to 31 points in the first half the other night. We did a really good job defensively in the first half. We had a tough little stretch of about 6 minutes where we didn't guard how we were guarding. You know, so defensively, I'm really excited about where this team can go. You know, and we got a bunch of guys who are going to get after it and get active. And I'm really excited about where we're going with our defense. We're going to be a defensive team first because defense is going to travel. Defense and rebounding travels. So whether we're shooting bad or shooting good, you know, our defense is going to make sure we're in the game. I mean, it was an 8-point game with 15 to go the other night in Iowa, and we were defending our butts off. And we just had a little bit of a 6-minute stretch where we kind of let it get away a little bit.
I like that, defense and rebounding travel. You know, where I come from, we talk about, does your golf game travel? Can you go from one course to another and still put up the same score? But that's a good point. You know, coaches always say you can always play defense. Defense doesn't slump like perhaps shooting could slump from time to time. So that's good to know. But the Vikings doing a tremendous job defensively, holding opponents to 65 points a game, as I said, 38% from the field. So that's a good look as we go ahead and get into a very early start to the Big Sky Conference season. Just so you know, Big Sky play opens this weekend, December 2 at Idaho State, December 4 at Weber State. An extremely early start to conference play. And then to make it even a little more unusual, you go back and play three more weeks of non-conference basketball before the Big Sky schedule resumes December 30th. How do you feel about that broken up schedule? I know coaches want their teams to get all those non-conference games in to really identify who they are when they get into conference play.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit awkward, but at the same time, we have to line up and play whoever we're supposed to play. You know, if we don't have control over the schedule, we're not going to worry about it. We're going to play who's on the schedule. And, you know, with this trip up, you know, this trip coming up, it's going to be one of the toughest road trips in the Big Sky. You know, playing two really quality opponents, who've been, you know, successful over the last year. It's going to be a battle on the road this week.
And as we look at those opponents, Idaho State and Weber State, the Vikings have had quite a bit of success actually at Idaho State, winning about half of the games they've played there. During their Big Sky Conference existence, for lack of a better word. And then Weber State is always a tough place for anybody to play. Only won a handful of games there in the 25 previous Big Sky seasons, but you've been a part of a couple of those wins in recent years. So let's talk a little bit about first Idaho State. And you're going to go to a place that's probably not going to have a big crowd. You're going to play against a team that is struggling a little bit right now. They've lost 5 in a row. The Bengals 1-5. But I find that a little surprising, Coach, because they have so many returning players, including, I believe, their entire starting lineup from last year. So what do you make of that? Or have you had a chance to look at them on film or anything yet?
Yeah, we've been looking at them. You know, Idaho State is always going to be a dangerous team because they have an identity. They have a certain style that they want to play and what they want to do and the things they want to accomplish. So when you're playing a team with an identity, they're always dangerous. So, you know, and obviously going to Pocatello, you know, they'll have a good crowd and it's always a battle in Pocatello no matter what. And like you said, they got a lot of returning guys with a lot of experience and they're a well-coached team. So, I'm excited about the opportunity to get out there and play them in their first Big Sky game.
In the Bengals last year, Portland State against Idaho State. Last year, the Bengals 13-11 on the season, 8-6 in Big Sky play. They tied for fourth, had a pretty good season, one of the best seasons they've had in several years under Coach Ryan Looney. And they came to Portland State. They played two here. We had that unusual COVID schedule last year where you'd play two in one location. You split with them last year, and as expected, the scores were down a little bit overall, but you know, what do you know about the team? They're led by some quality guards, Robert Ford, Tarik Cool. Those guys are back leading scorers this year. So probably those are the primary guys you're going to have to handle.
Yeah, and they've got a good inside game too, and they can shoot the ball, you know, they try and post up. And I think you can never underestimate the experience of going through big sky play, and they've got a lot of guys back and a lot of guys who played a lot of minutes, you know, and they were very productive players last season. So, yeah, I mean, we definitely know that it's a dangerous team. And everything kind of resets when it's big sky play, you know, everybody's really 0-0 starting Thursday. And, so yeah, they're a very good team. And like I said, they have an identity. They're really well coached, and, it'll be a battle.
And Idaho State, their issue, after a season opening win has been shooting the ball a little bit. They're only averaging right at about 60 points. So it kind of looks like whichever team is going to break out of this little, shooting issue is going to have the advantage on Thursday night.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like I just said earlier, defense travels. So we got to make sure they don't break out of it. And we have to do a really good job defensively because they got a lot of weapons offensively.
Okay. And then as we look at Saturday, that's Weber State. I should note Thursday night, Idaho State, that game is going to be at 6 p.m. Pacific time. You can watch it on ESPN Plus. And then Saturday night at Weber State, they're playing at 6 Mountain Time, so that'll be 5 p.m. Pacific Time on ESPN Plus. And let's talk about Weber State, their perennial power in the Big Sky. Randy Ray has been there almost forever. They're a favorite again this year. They have started the year 6-0, another team with a tremendous number of returners. And I looked at their shooting numbers because, Coach, in the end, you got to put the ball in the hole, and they lead the Big Sky 54% from the field early in the season. So that's daunting and a big challenge for your defense.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a battle of wills. We know they can score it. We know they got a ton of weapons over there. You know, they got a couple new guys and some guys back with some experience, and even their new guys have experience playing. So, yeah, and then obviously Coach Ray is an unbelievable coach. I'm excited about the opportunity to go up against him and see what I got. And they're really talented. They're as hot as anybody in the country right now. They've beaten some really good teams. So, it'll be a fun one that night.
As we look at the Wildcats schedule again, 6-0, and they have wins over Duquesne, UMass, Ball State, Green Bay. They beat in-state rival Dixie State. But they are rolling, and they are scoring a lot of points. So that'll be a great, great challenge. I'm going to put you on the spot here. I don't give you a question list before we do this. You know, we talked a little bit about Thanksgiving. Is there anything unusual that you do when you take your team, or that you're planning, I should say, that you're planning to do as a head coach? Obviously, you've been on the road many, many times over the years as an assistant associate head coach. Any unusual or different ways you want your team to deal with things on the road or travel slightly differently, anything like that? That maybe you have changed up?
You know, not really. Everything's kind of standard, and I kind of think that every team year by year is different. So it's a lot of trial and error. You know, so far this year, you know, at home, we haven't done shoot arounds. We did a shoot around. So we just got to kind of catch our groove and find what works best for this particular team. In terms of the travel and stuff, our operations guy, Alberto De La Torre, does a really good job of making sure everything is on point and ready to roll. But right now it's kind of standard. And over the course of the season, if things are going good or if things aren't going good, we'll try and fix them. I like to fix problems a lot of times. So we'll test it out this week and see what we got.
You brought up Berto, and I gotta know, Coach. Let's talk about him for a minute. He is a serious dude. Maybe I'm missing it out on him. He's a tough shell to crack. But you said it right there. He's a well organized guy. He's in the right role. We got to get him to smile a little more, Coach.
You know, he's extremely focused. That's what
okay.
I'm
he's focused.
I see him laugh all the time.
Okay.
I can make him laugh. But when he's not talking to me, he knows he's got a job to do.
Uh-huh.
And so he is like the most extremely focused person I've ever been around, I think. So he's got a one-track mind. When he's got a task, he's on it. And, you know, he hasn't had any mess ups or anything. I mean, better knock on wood for him. But, but yeah, he's great. I mean, he's great with the guys, and he cares, you know, he cares about the success of our players and the success of the team. And that's all I can ask for.
Well, Alberto De La Torre, he is the director of operations. He's been around the program as a student, as a team manager, as a graduate assistant. He cares about the Vikings, and he's a Portlander. So these are all good things, Coach, that we like.
Yeah, and he actually cares about what I think.
So. Oh, okay. Okay.
So, yeah, so that's part of his deal, man. It's like he's just extremely focused because he really wants to do a good job. So.
All right. Well, let's talk about a couple of players real quick. We've talked about Damian Squire in the past. He has been out so far this season dealing with some off-season hip surgery. Hoping to get him healthy. What's his timetable now? We were looking at maybe sometime in December. How's that going?
I guess I'll go with the line sooner rather than later.
Sooner rather than later.
Yeah, we'll go with that line.
And so. And it, certainly a guy you expect to play some minutes and really increase your team depth.
Yeah, I mean, we got to see how he is coming back from his injury and working back in. So, you know, the full-time practice time will do really good for him to kind of catch his wind again and get back in the flow. But he's been, you know, he's been really positive for our team. Very smart, very intelligent, very mature. You know, he sees things that happen on the floor, and he's constantly talking to guys about different ideas and things like that. And it's been awesome. Like he's been a great teammate so far with everybody, and I'm really excited to get him back. Can't wait till he gets back. You know, and see what he can add to our team.
All right. Damian Squire is a junior guard. He's a transfer from UC Davis. Last year, he averaged 11.5 points, 3 assists. He shot the ball really, really well, 84% at the line. Those are all things you'd love to add to that roster. All right. Last time we spoke, we talked about Michael Starks. We talked a little bit about what he brings to the game. And, today I want to talk about the big fella because he's putting up some numbers, and just like you expected he would. James Jean-Marie, senior forward, 6'8" out of Montreal, a transfer here into Portland State. He's averaging 13 points over 11 rebounds. He leads the Big Sky. I'm not even sure if you knew that or not, Coach. Leads the Big Sky in rebounding. He's been in double figures every game in rebounds. Let's talk a little bit about him. He certainly brings a presence inside, and I'm thinking maybe that presence will be even more obvious as we get into Big Sky play.
James is a rebounding monster. You know, I mean, like you said, he's had double-digit rebounds in every single game so far. I think he had like 15 against Iowa, which, you know, obviously he can rebound at a really high level. I mean, Iowa was really talented on the glass. You know, so his rebounding is just – it's been you know, really good for our team. You know, on the offensive end, he's really talented offensive player because, you know, he can post up. He can, you know, against smaller guys, he can post up. I mean, he can post up bigger guys too, but against smaller guys, he can post up. I mean, he's got an ability to get out on the perimeter and put it on the floor and attack bigger guys. And then people who sit in the paint, he has the ability to knock down threes. So, yeah, offensively, he's a mismatch nightmare. He's an unbelievable screen setter too. You know, and the other thing too is defensively, he's a great communicator. Like when his man is setting a ball screen, our guys never get lit up. And, you know, so he really, he talks things out for us defensively. He's pretty much like our anchor defensively and is able to talk things out for guys. And, yeah, he's been really, really good for us and excited for his future. And yeah, so he's been everything we've wanted.
And as you look at a particular opponent from night to night, you talk about how he can post up and really be a force in there, but he can also step out of the post and do some things. Is that going to be a thing that changes night to night, or are you going to try to remain consistent with where you put him on the floor and then just go from there?
I mean, obviously we have some things we want to do to get him touches in certain places, you know, and depending upon how we either think people are going to guard him, or how they are guarding him in the game will adjust to that and give him the best advantage that we can when it comes to him specifically. But that's with everybody too. Is like, we want to try and put our guys in the best situations possible to give them the best advantage, whatever that might mean on those particular nights. So, it'll be real. And I've said this before, it'll be really interesting to see how Big Sky guards James. Looking forward to it, because we have some things that we haven't even shown yet that we want to be able to do with him. We're excited about that.
All right, James Jean-Marie averaging 13.4 points per game. He and Marlon Ruffin both averaging that number, leading the team so far through five games. So, Coach, before we finish up, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the hottest team in professional sports. And I know you know who I'm talking about. We have a very Phoenix-oriented podcast going here now that you're the man. We talk a lot of Phoenix sports. How about your Phoenix Suns?
I actually didn't know which team you were talking about, because the Suns are on fire, but the Cardinals are also in first place in the NFL.
Well,
So I didn't know. I mean, you know, we got the best of both worlds right now.
Well, don't make me bring up the Diamondbacks. Don't.
Hey, yeah, yeah. Okay.
But Phoenix has won 16 in a row.
Suns are, they play really well together. They know exactly what they're doing. They know their roles. Coach Monty Williams is an unbelievable coach. You know, they got their rotation down. I mean, they're just in a groove right now, man. Like, you know, I don't know when they're going to lose.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm certainly no expert on any particular sport, but I watch an awful lot, and especially basketball. You can always tell a team when the guys on the court all know what their role is and play to their role. And that makes such a big, big difference. And when, you know, I saw them play earlier this year in Portland, and a guy comes on the court and he knows what he's supposed to do while he's out there. He's not trying to do something that he shouldn't be doing.
And I think part of that was a process, right? Like when Coach Monty Williams got there, you know, they had to go through it a little bit, you know. I mean, he was a new coach with the team, and they had, you know, some new players, and then they got out to the bubble, and, you know, everything kind of turned around for them. And I feel like they haven't lost a game since the bubble. Well, I guess the Bucks series, but like ever since the bubble, I feel like they haven't lost. So, but it's all part of a process. I think it was part of like him finding out about their team and those guys figuring out what they needed to do. And it's been really exciting and fun to watch, because you can tell those guys really enjoy each other and, playing with each other and all that. So, Phoenix Suns are really hot right now. So yeah, I hope they keep winning.
All right. Well, this will be the last question of this podcast. You have 3 days. Preparation for Idaho State and even Weber State before you throw it up in Pocatello. Coach, what's going to be your emphasis this week with your team in terms of getting ready for those two Big Sky games?
I think it's staying confident, having fun, and just letting it ride, just letting it roll. I mean, we just need to go on this road trip. I can't wait to get back on the road with these guys again. And you know, we just need to go out there and let the thing roll, you know, and have a good time, play relaxed, you know, be intense, but play relaxed and, you know, let the talent do the playing, you know. I tell those guys all the time that just make the simple play and the talent will come out, and, you know, and that's just how we need to play. So, you know, very similar to what we were just talking about with the Phoenix Suns is, you know, just go out there. Enjoy your time while you got it, and let it roll.
All right. Well, the talent is definitely there. We can see it, and we look forward to more Viking basketball coming up. Portland State on the road this week. The Vikings will return to Viking Pavilion on December 11th. So if you want to see them in person, Saturday night, December 11th, Cal Poly, a 7 p.m. start. So that is the next home game. But once again, on the road this week at Idaho State and Weber State. You can watch those two on ESPN+. And with that, we're going to wrap it up. Another Viking podcast in the books. We'll be back again soon talking with Coach Coburn and talking Viking basketball. If you have any questions for Coach, email them to me, Mike Lund. You can find my email address on the staff directory at govikes.com. Thanks once again to our sponsor, On Point Community Credit Union. And with that, we'll say goodbye and go Vikes.